So welcome everyone to the Blessings of Christ on this second day of March. I hope you're having the same kind of wonderful weather we are. It's hard to believe, right here in the middle of winter, we've already had a week of springtime, and we've got another 10 days ahead of us with springtime, which is pretty closely going to take us right into the spring equinox. It's amazing. It still could turn around because weather is fickle in Texas. But I hope that everything's progressing towards spring for you. And if not in the weather, at least in your heart, that you're ready to let new possibilities open to you. Let the sunlight in and warmth of the ground with the sunlight will sprout the seeds that have laid quietly without speaking over the winter. We are ready for a new day, a new start, new possibilities, and let's just breathe it in. And Nancy, thank you so much for being here. We all love you so much. And I'm going to do my best to carry the session today. But as you probably can all tell, my voice isn't totally back to normal. I'm still talking just a little bit on top of sandpaper. So Nancy may share the time with me, as she often does. Okay, thank you. So anyway, what I want to start with is a little orientation to what we're going to read today. It's, again, following on last week, chapter 8, called Bridges. And I created excerpts that I feel flow one into another over about 6 pages. We don't have time for reading 6 pages and commenting on them because we'll just be running too late for our blessing. And I have not been good about condensing that, so I apologize for our late time, but we're going to try to end at 4:15, which gives us a nice, comfortable time for the blessing. When we think about bridges, we think about the roadways we drive over with something like a river underneath or maybe a different highway going a different direction. Bridges are suspended with the intention of connecting one side of something with another and creating safe passage from one reality to another, or at least movement along the way. And I'm sure you know, before you needed too much experience in this life, that you needed help getting through all of the issues and challenges of life. If you were a little kid and wanted to throw a ball, but it fell right in front of you, you might need somebody to help you give that ball some altitude so that you threw it into a higher arc and you would get more length out of your throw. In other words, that coach was a bridge. Our teachers all through life are bridges. Those who help us are bridges. Our doctors are our healers, whichever way we choose to go for. We do need somebody at some time to create a bridge between the inherent health we know we have that isn't operating at the moment. Either we got a little infection or inflammation or something else isn't going right. We need someone to build a bridge for us back to the way we know we should be. All of life requires bridges because it's a very variegated universe. We don't have to go out and create variety. It's already there. But our goal in life is to observe the many variable conditions and possibilities. Pardon me, just a moment, for water. Okay, that was a bridge. You see how frequently they happen, and they're very necessary. I just didn't want to bother you with me clearing my throat, having a little cough and getting back on with it. That's a bridge. It's a necessity for gracious coexistence. And it's really important to appreciate them, be grateful for them, and observe them in times when they become necessary. You know, we've got a national, international situation brewing that we're going to need some good bridges for. I was just observing the relevance of this message in relation to what happened in our White House. Now, I'm not going to go into that subject, but it's a good example of how high up for influence a bridge can be. And I think actually right now, the UK and the Prime Minister of the UK is building a bridge. It's really interesting to see. And it will be super interesting to observe how it plays out. We went through that with Netanyahu. We've gone through that with so many other countries that are potentially explosive, literally. And building those bridges is essential for peace. What I stand for is peace. I don't stand for war in any form or fashion. But if it's almost necessary or necessarily going to happen, it is necessary to build a bridge over it and get us to safe territory. I pray for that with my whole heart, soul, and being. We have got, this world has to be led to safety. And this is the work Yeshua is doing every day. He inspires and he leads, and he gives us better opportunities or just better ways of living. But what makes this topic so important to our everyday life is that we create bridges that we use to weave the tapestry of our union with everyone and everybody. This is actually an extremely important chapter to study. And it actually does take study. It's not one of those chapters that you read and it just flows through your mind up to higher levels of inspiration instantly, like the One Spirit would, or Love Is Who You Are, or Pathways to Success, or The Beloved. You know, we read some of the words he's written, and we're just on a high flight, ready to spread our wings and say yes to everything. This is going to take a little work. And the main reason it's going to take a little work is because throughout the history of humanity, we have built our lives around disagreement. I'm quite serious, and I hate to say that. It's probably our weakest point as humanity is how many disagreements we have used to define our boundaries, to define our different religions, our different lifestyles, different beliefs, and darn it, we're not going to give them up. Well, my friends, you're part of the problem too. I'm part of the problem. We all are. We have engaged in conflict and defined our life by conflict for so long that we didn't take seriously the building of bridges. And we really need to, even if it's a noisy neighbor, even if it's a barking dog, you know, figure it out. But really, I urge you to seriously read this chapter. And it's gonna irritate you in a couple of places because it really exposes the fact that thought is not primal. It's actually quite derivative. In a state of pure awareness, you don't think. Nobody thinks. Even God just spoke. In the beginning was the Word. He just spoke. In the course of creation, the first act is creation. He said, let there be light. He didn't think about it. He didn't strategize about it. Now, after we have initiated something, taken an action, focused our intention, then we get to the point where we think about how to manage it. Thought is quite derivative, and it plays along with everything in the universe that is also derivative. Your life will most definitely be affected by how you think. It's not that thought is unimportant, it's just not primal. And he makes it very, very clear in your life. That's why in the beginning he said, love is who you are. It's not what you think about somebody. Like, oh, such a loving person. Such a sweet person, gives so much to charity. No, he didn't say that. He actually reinforced the primal nature of everyone's love. And it's not something they have to do or because they did something. They are love. You are love. Your being and then your intention, those are the primal causes. And as they then start showing up as action, that's when you begin to think about them, because you really love someone, and they're not responding well to that. They may not like you. They may not want to be loved by you. At that point, you better think about it. What's going on? Why am I getting this response? That's where thought comes in. And your thought can solve an awful lot of problems. It can do a lot to make your life better. But you're not going to become what you think about. You're going to use what you think about for the betterment of your life. Then you're going to drop those thoughts altogether. And you'll get new thoughts that are new according to what's going on in your life. Yeshua, throughout this whole book, took extreme measures to get me off of derivative concepts and back to primal reality. And so a bridge with that beginning and with that initiation into this chapter, I'm going to say right now, bridges are not primal. We wouldn't need them at all if we were all operating in our primal self. You don't need a bridge. If love is all you are being in anything you do, you don't need a bridge. He didn't come here to build bridges for himself. He doesn't need one. He is literally the presence of the kingdom of heaven wherever he is. But we do. We need bridges. And learning how to build those bridges and honor them. That's the key. So let's get started. And Nancy, if my voice gets a little weakened, I'll just ask you to take over because you've got the script in front of you.
I'm right here.
Yeah, all right. I brought together excerpts that I think I already told you this, but anyway, that I think really grow and glow together. So when you read pages 198 to 204, you're going to find a lot of inserts that I'm not reading, but most of them were anecdotal stories I told to illustrate a message or something like that. I kept the most important things he said over these six pages. So let's get started. And this is me describing. He never tired of reminding me that God is love. And the totality of what we experience is essentially love in one form or another. However, it is not a functional bridge until we establish connections within it. Love is the ultimate power to building bridges, even to God. If you don't have a connection, you don't have a bridge. What's your connection? Well, knowing that you need it is the origin of the connection. You were created by God, and restoring that connection, you don't get much more primal than that, and then the next thing might be prayer. And then study what is the will of God in my life. Anyway, you get this connection, and your bridge is in place. The rest will come as you need it. Now, we're quoting Yeshua. Your life is first determined by love, and then directed by your thoughts and actions. According to the nature of your thoughts and actions, your love either will grow in strength or else become reduced, altered, misconstrued, or even inverted. Jesus had been reluctant to speak about conceptualizations, ideas, and thought processes until he was confident of my greater appreciation for love's power and the heart's higher intelligence. By the way, this chapter, you know, is about halfway through our conversation. It didn't happen in the beginning, so that's why that was written. It was written that way in the book. Therefore, in revealing his messages to you, I have honored his priorities as the sequence of presentation. The mind is not a good starting point, for it is entirely derivative and has no primal energy or power. In searching for primal essence, the mind does not have a clue. The place to begin is with simple awareness. Awareness is primal. Awareness in existence. No, I need to start that sentence again. Everything in existence is aware. From the one spirit to every particle of infinity. Just consider the particles and subparticles within an atom. How the patterns of exchange are exact and predictable. By what knowledge does that occur? How do roses know when to bloom? How do birds know where to migrate? How do herds of wild sheep know where to find water? How do the monarch butterflies find their way from Canada to Mexico City every year? Everything in existence is aware. Those butterflies don't think about it. Now, that's my comment. They don't think about it. They follow their awareness. Awareness is where intelligence begins. Yet, the simple presence of awareness does not imply that any thought is necessarily occurring, or that consciousness, as you know it, has been created. Concepts, ideas, and thoughts are crystallizations of awareness, which implement and stabilize awareness, or else hold the promise of doing so. Thoughts develop from a sequence of useful probabilities. The desire to connect is strong in mankind. It is a desire that has propelled him to his greatest achievements through the ages. Included in this desire is a primary urge to connect experiences, feelings, reflections, and aspirations in such a way as to add a responsibility factor to native awareness, thus transforming it into integrated consciousness. Consciousness is developed both within each individual. All the parts of your body talk to each other. They coordinate. They harmonize. If one is out of sync, the whole body may be out of sync, or at least there may be two or three other organ systems that are. So let's repeat that. Consciousness is developed both within each individual and among the many. For consciousness is the direct result of establishing useful connections. Love ignites the desire for unity, and thought manifests that desire through making the connection. History is full of such realizations. Just consider how in ancient times, heavy objects, heavy objects may have been moved on rolling logs until one day someone made a connection and invented the wheel and axle. The difficulty of maneuvering whole logs was an unnecessary burden, considering that a smaller log, which would turn freely as the disc rolled along, could thread two large wooden discs. Through focusing awareness, first there is consciousness, then a development of thoughts, concepts, and ideas. Awareness is the primal condition. Thought is the connecting link. Thought is a connecting link within consciousness, within experiences, and within all manner of relationships, from social to spiritual. Without thoughtfulness, human relationships would have little quality or meaning. As you think, so you connect. And as you connect, so you think. There's a circle there. If you understand that circle, now you're at a place where you can declare it an axiom. As you think, so you connect. As you connect, then so you think. And it goes on and on forever like that. Once there is a connection, once there is a connection, there is also a direction, a sequence. This is where thought acquires its meaning. For in its application to life, thought acquires direction, a reason for being. Thought is like an arrow placed in the bowstring of life and propelled by love. Inherent to thought is a vector. Application to life acquires direction, a reason for being. So I ask, what do you mean by a vector? He then proceeded to elaborate that a vector is comprised of two or more points constituting a direction or an intent. Where this concept takes on immense importance for affecting life is that the first point creating any vector is always love. Love is the beginning of all things and is the basic power behind all of your thoughts. Now, your thoughts may not stay there, but it was the divine, it was the original power. You love something, you love someone. You had a love essence in your awareness, and you wanted to develop it. The second point is the way your love is directed by your thoughts. How are you applying love to life? And what are you doing with it? The very tapestry of your life is woven from your love and the vectors you have used to extend it. Trouble arises when your mind uses thought to control, reduce, or subterfuge your life instead of allowing your thoughts to be outwardly directed into life. Now, I'm going to read that sentence again after making this comment. You know, he says, trouble arises when your mind, where does trouble start? In your mind.
Right.
Okay? In your mind. And that's where an awful lot of your thoughts start, in your mind. How many times have you presumed and projected on a situation, dread and negativity, only to find out that, well, at worst it was just a challenge, but nothing really negative there, and you think, well, I sure wasted a lot of time worrying about that. Yeah, we do. Trouble arises when your mind uses thought to control, reduce, or subterfuge your love instead of allowing your thoughts to be outwardly directed into life. A mind will attempt to control thoughts until it owns them. That's a powerful statement right there. And then turn them back upon you to influence your behavior. Oh, that doesn't sound like something I want. But continuing on with what Yeshua says, in visualizing the power of thought, the most compelling metaphor is that of a bow and arrow. Thought functions best as an arrow drawn in the bow of love and pointed away from the sender. I suggest you put that on a post-it note, okay? Because, and just remember, the two commandments he left us with were all on a vector pointing away from you. It was about loving God and loving others. You already are love. You already are. The way you build a bridge between that love and others is you point that arrow toward them. I'm talking about the love arrow. And you point your love arrow toward God in the form of gratitude, affection, delight in being endowed as you've been endowed and honored to be part of his work. Humility, that you in fact have been chosen to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing to the last paragraph today, we are doing great. Boy, we're going to have some good conversations. But anyway, getting into the last paragraph for today. Love is the, and this is from Yeshua, love is the only power in life. Now, he's referring to real power. You know, he's not talking about leverage. He's not talking about pushing, shoving, dominating, or even leading, unless it's about love. Love is the only power in life, and it is the original point to which all vectors of thought are connected. Where there are contradictory thoughts, there will also be difficulties. Okay? Until one's relationship to love is changed in the heart, nothing fundamental will change in life. What is perceived as negative emotion is not the absence of love, but merely reversals of thought, which are undermining love's power and goodness. Love disabled by negative thoughts can be a dangerous thing, for there is no greater power than love, and nothing closer to the soul. So how do some souls get in trouble and go into an evil performance of life? Negative thoughts. That's how they got there. They started out as love, and negative thoughts about this, that, or whatever. And there may be a lot of reasons in the beginning why they had negative thoughts. Perhaps they were abused children. Perhaps they grew up in a war-torn world. There could have been, a struggling inner-city problem with gangs and pressures and sometimes even starvation. So they developed their negative thoughts, but they didn't have anyone to help them understand what those negative thoughts were doing to them. The person who was hurt the most by their negative thoughts was the person who created those thoughts. There's always potential in this universe. Now, this is me speaking right now. There's always potential if you look for it. And sure, we may all get rejection of our love or our desire for an opportunity. It's going to happen in life because there's no outward assurance. The assurances we have in life are the fact we were created by God, and we have the assurance of this indwelling potential if we would only use it, if we would only open ourselves up. And in the beginning, it may just require loving a pet or anything, anybody, an idea, maybe loving soccer. You know, there are a lot of kids in emerging countries who have found their place in life, starting out on the soccer field at the age of 3, 4, or 5. It gave them a reason for living. They love the game. Then they got to where they love their teammates. And they love their fans. And they grew in love. Just grow in love of something. But don't forget to connect it back into yourself. Why did those kids love soccer? Because it caused them to be a more confident person. It caused them to find talent and ability that were appreciated. It helped them to find their strength, their ability to rise up as a person. You know, I look at the triumph of Lionel Messi. Went from a completely impoverished child to, winning the greatest of all time in soccer. Of course, they call it football. Most places in the world call it football, but you don't dare over here. So over here it's soccer. Anyway, getting back to just the pattern of living, how do you find your life? Well, I'll tell you what. When you find it, it's going to make you feel better about yourself. It always will come back to you. If you love the land and it's really the right thing for you, you're going to love yourself like a bunny rabbit on Easter. You're going to say, yeah, I found it. This is it. This is what I love for my life. And then you'll extend that love to everything and everyone else in your life. Okay? So you've got to learn what is and is not primal. I want to reread for you the last paragraph, which is short, because I want you to really think about everything it says. Every sentence is meaty, and every sentence could be a session of counseling, psychotherapy for anybody in this world struggling. It's powerful. Here we go. Jesus' words. At that time, I didn't know what his original name was. And like anyone else in the Christian world, he was Jesus. So that's why you're going to find Jesus throughout Love Without End. Anyway, now we're getting back to so these were his words. Love is the only power in life. It is the original point. Oh, my goodness. Okay, it is the... I forgot to record. I just had a terrible thought. Nancy, it's did recording. You by any chance...
Huh? We're recording. We are recording.
Oh, good.
We're good.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad you did it. I forgot to do it. Okay, love is the only power in life, and it is the only... It is the original point to which all vectors of thought are connected. So what happens, my friends, when your thoughts are negative, they disconnect from their only source of power. Then they don't work. Probably they'll turn back on you. Now, where there are contradictory thoughts, there also will be difficulties. Until one's relationship to love is changed in the heart, nothing fundamental will change in life. He said that a number of times throughout the book in different ways, in different contexts, but it's a thread that runs through all of his messages and his life on earth. Until one's relationship to love is changed in the heart, nothing fundamental will change in life. Now, I'm going to illustrate that in a world-class, everyone knows what happened on the cross with the thief who hung beside him. The man being crucified for civil crimes looked over at him, saw him for who he was, and told him who he was. And what did Jesus say? You will be with me today in paradise. It doesn't matter how many crimes or sins or negative thoughts you've had in your whole life. When you change your fundamental relationship to love in the heart, nothing fundamental will change in your life. I think there's almost nothing more fundamental in a change from hanging on the cross to being in paradise. You don't get more fundamental than that. That's how huge the change is. And it doesn't matter what preceded it. What matters is that it happens. Because when you change your relationship to love, all of the good thoughts and all the desires you had for life, they start connecting. They start lining up. Things that were impossible before become possible now. Okay? So let's finish this paragraph because every line is potent. What is perceived as negative emotion is not the absence of love, but merely reversals of thought, which are undermining love's power and goodness. Love disabled by negative thoughts can be a dangerous thing. For there is no greater power than love. Nothing closer to the soul, which means love, in whatever form it's taking, is going to affect you profoundly. Profoundly. And negative thoughts, as he's wrote here, negative thoughts can undermine love's power and goodness. Love disabled by negative thoughts can be a dangerous thing. So now, in that regard and in that way, your thoughts will and can make you a better person, but it doesn't start with your thoughts. That's what you have to understand, or you'll never get there. Thoughts are derivative. They come about because of something more powerful than them. You get that? Then you're not going to take your thoughts. Well, you take them seriously, but not like something that's going to make or break your life. In fact, sometimes we actually can benefit by thoughts that are revising plans. We find that the plan we had, no matter how good we thought it was, we got to revise it, and we may ask ourselves, well, how could I do better, or what's wrong? I mean, why is this not working? Those are important thoughts to ask, and you need to be free to use thought in all the various ways it can help your life without being afraid that you're going to become embedded in those thoughts. What you need to be embedded in is your love. And the intentions that come from your love. See, we talked about intention last time. And before it's over in our series of talks about love without end, we're going to focus a little more intently on intention. Because awareness that is love also has intentions. And those intentions precede thought. As long as your intentions are in the right place, just like me illustrating that something wasn't quite working. Well, the intention was, I want it to work. See, I'm not trying to cause something to fail. I'm not trying to figure out how to cheat on insurance, make an insurance claim on an accident I didn't have. See, that's using thought for the wrong purpose. And the Ten Commandments are all pretty much made up of events that undermine love. That's why in this book I called it the Ten Commandments of Love, because if you look at all of the commandments, you will see that the intention behind them all is the strengthening, implementing, and refurbishing the power of love in your life. And I think we'll probably take on that chapter next after we finish this one, because that's another very, very practical chapter in life to apply in practical life. And it's not just about don't do criminal things. Oh, my goodness, no. It's about the quality of life you have and whether you're really connecting with love or are you doing actions or thoughts that disconnect you from love. Being connected with love is everything. It's everything. And a lot of people shy away from things because they don't like what's going on in life. And they say, I'm not going to love that. You've got to be kidding. That I would love that. Well, it is an arrogant statement. And it's not a productive statement at all. But you could ask a question like, what could we do better than that? How could we not need, why are people doing that? What's behind it?
Well, you might find that family starving and sick is behind it, which is love. It is love. They can't find a job. They can't get money. They had to just let their dog die in the backyard. And their kids are not doing well in school because they need glasses and they can't afford glasses. So you might just take a little closer look at why those things are happening. The Ten Commandments of Love. We need to take that up next. Anyway, this is it for today. And I hope that it blessed your life by bringing his words and his teachings closer into your understanding. And we're gonna get back to, well, we can talk to each other. You can come on board, ask for a blessing, or give your questions or thoughts about what we just read. Otherwise, we'll just go right into the blessing. So, Nancy, let's just take us back onto the board.
Okay. Let me open the line. I would like to say one thing just about that last paragraph, which was really, I've read it many times, as probably many of us have, but that was really powerful. He gave us a little clue, a big clue, gave us also eyes to see when about the negative emotion. It's not the absence of love. So that's so powerful for me with dealing with family, friends, coworkers, and, you know, you can see their mind working overtime. I think he said that in Love Without End. Have you ever seen a negative person whose mind is just not working overtime? But to not think of them as not being love or that their love is gone, it's not. It's there, you know, and it's important to see them that way. It's, you know, but they don't see themselves.
I don't mean to get personal, so I'll just only say a bit. You know, your grieving sister is grieving because she loves her husband.
Right.
It's love that's at the back of it. It's just she keeps reversing the thoughts and bringing them back like arrows pointing at her.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And that's the truth. That's exactly it. But when we see love in others, they can see it in themselves. He's always doing this divine circle of bringing us back. I mean, obviously, the mind is really, I don't think it's very happy that it's not the boss.
It's so, not at all happy.
Well,
it's not the boss.
Right, and I think in people's lives, anything that's relegated to the role of servant is seen as less than or something, rather than, no, that's great, too. It's part of you, but it's, he's always bringing us back to that primal. I think that's just the key foundational thing you're talking about today for everyone is to get that foundation right, you know, with that primal awareness of who we are and the foundation on which we were created. And that's where it's all powerful and important and potent, and that's where it works, you know?
Exactly.
And I think... Yeah, and I think thought, people really, you know, have thought sort of deified and their own thoughts, and it's interesting how I'm glad you told everybody, read this whole chapter again, just let it seep in without even really thinking. Just kind of
just read it,
you know?
And then where it sinks in, take a moment to think a little, you know, to review your response and how you're feeling about it.
Absolutely. I mean, even awareness. I mean, I think he's bringing us back to just being. Just what about meditation and quiet and just going within?
Well, exactly. Awareness. When meditation is done right, that's where it takes us back to. It's just awareness. That's the goal of meditation. That's it.
Right. Beautiful.
You can't think your way into meditation. You just can't. I mean, you will go in circles telling yourself, okay, I'm here, but you're not there. If you're still thinking, you're not there. It's going to take you back to that primal state of awareness, and it's extremely therapeutic for that reason. It's not the same thing as prayer, but it's the next thing to prayer, because when you're in a primal state of awareness, you're pretty close to God.
Yeah, and those powers of the heart, you know, living from them, you know yourself more fully, which brings you back to that circle of knowing God. How can you not know God when you're in the powers of the heart, you know? So we've got some callers. I'm going to bring them online. Let's see. We have, not sure who this is, 512. Is this Nancy from Austin?
Hello, Nancy from Austin.
Hi there. Hey. Welcome.
I am so grateful for everything right now. We had a beautiful day yesterday in Luling. As we started off, we gave away seeds and everything for spring. My sister is, the brain cancer has shrunk. And
yay.
She, her last round of chemo, so blessings for her. Everything yesterday was just beautiful. I had fun with my nephew and niece and with cousins and great nieces and aunts and whatever. Anyway, I had fun yesterday, and it was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being there and for and may we all keep receiving the blessings that are there and everything that we need.
Oh, so, thank you, Nancy.
So thank you. And just, you know, put my sister, Laura, in the blessings for the continued health and healing. So thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Nancy. It's so wonderful to hear your joyful voice. And it's great to be in gratitude, because that's, well, that's another experience of knowing God and getting back to your love. So thank you so much. We love you, and we will keep Laura in the blessing. I'm going to move on to, we have area code 415.
Hey, this is
Caroline. Oh, Caroline. Hi.
Yeah,
you've got a different, okay.
Oh, no, this is a normal phone number, but are you able to hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Great.
I can't hear Glenda.
Hello, Glenda. Glad to hear your voice is stronger, and wonderful that I think bridges is a very important topic given our current situation. That's all I was going to ask a blessing about, because there's a person that is a friend of mine for a couple of years.
You're a little quiet, Caroline. Now, I don't know if you have your...
Oh,
yeah, now it's hard for me to...
You know what? Let me just get off the headset, and I'll just do it normally through the phone.
Okay.
How about this? Are you hearing me okay?
Now we got you loud and clear.
Okay, so it's about a friend that is turning into not a friend. I lent him some money for a business venture that he's... not really been able to pay back much of, and he's sort of that's been a difficult thing. And then he did some favors for my son, you know, letting him stay in his place several times. But it now transpires that he has these expectations in his head of what my son should have done for him. None of that was in writing, but he's become extremely vitriolic towards my son, and he's sort of not paying me back the loan he owes me. So I'm wondering how to process this. I want to be as loving as possible, but I feel like I don't want to have a relationship with him anymore, and I want to have him cut off his demands on my son. So I don't know whether you have any hints about how I should deal with this going forward.
Glenda, are you there? I'm not sure why we're not hearing you, Glenda. Is anybody hearing Glenda?
No.
Caroline. Okay.
No, I'm here. Yes, I would love to help you through that, Caroline, but we need to do it on a private call, because that could be a lengthy conversation.
Oh, it's a lengthy call. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. And I don't want to take up your time on that, but
I think it does tie in with this idea of when you have disagreements with somebody, mm-hmm. how do you still be loving towards them, even if you don't necessarily want to have a particularly close relationship with that person anymore?
Well, you tell them your terms. And,
yeah.
You know, just say, look, I am going to, first of all, take care of my family and myself. And then we can review everything that was written in our agreement between each other and cover all the checkpoints.
Yeah,
and
well, my stuff was
that.
In writing, but he had this was just an idea in his head what he had, you know, his expectations for my son. So everything. So
well,
that, so
you,
it's and this is a problem of thoughts. You know, you have thoughts and expectations that may not necessarily be in what's reality.
That's true, and that's what I was going to say next, Caroline, is you cannot be responsible for thoughts he had in his mind that were
right.
not shared with you.
Yeah. So
okay.
that's a good point. And I think that does tie in with our bridges because we have so many
exactly
huge
right.
disagreements between different groups.
Exactly
and there has
right.
to be some
the bridge
way
wasn't
of
built.
Yeah.
The bridge
there
cannot,
we go.
The bridge wasn't built. And you cannot be responsible for his presumptions that were never communicated.
Right.
If he had communicated all of his presumptions, would you have done the deal?
Yeah. Right. Right.
So you cannot post facto put in a bridge that's already fallen. You can't do it. It doesn't work. But
right.
that doesn't mean you're going to bring hardship or foul weather on him. You're just
mm-hmm.
going to take care of your family, yourself, and make up for your own damages. Whatever your own damages are, make up for them. You take care
right.
of your side of the equation.
Right.
That's, and let him figure out how to take care of his side of the equation.
Right. That's his issue. So there we go. I'm sure it's a common story with many people. You know, you get into whenever favors are done and not and expectations are there, but not really articulated in writing, then it's always a minefield.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's the problem between him and my son right now. Yeah,
yeah, it can be.
So, yeah.
So,
but
what
anyway,
we want to restore is respect.
Respect and balance. Yeah.
Exactly. Respect is
yeah.
its own unique form of love.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
okay.
And then another blessing is there's a my ex-husband he's temporarily gone into an assisted living facility. Because his new wife doesn't really want to take care of him, and my two sons are trying to get him back to better health in a local facility near where they live. And I just want blessings for everybody concerned in that equation that it goes smoothly and successfully.
You've got it.
That's great.
All righty. Well, that's really it. Thank you, Glenda. And I'm sure we'll be in touch. I'd love to find out where we're at with nowhere to go but up.
Me too.
All righty.
I want to know more and share more.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Take care. Lots of love.
Love you. Lots of love to you. Okay. We have 201 area code. Your line is open. Who do we have today?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Nancy, do you have me, Susan?
Oh, Susan has a different, doesn't say Susan. So there you go.
Oh, it never does. It says probably DSAJM. my
yep, that's
cell phone.
Yeah,
it's me. So, good topic. And actually, I was thinking about, I was speaking to my closest friend, and while I'm on that subject, I would love, she's going for some back surgery Thursday, so her name is Bonnie, and I would love to, you know, send her a blessing. But I've been having difficulty. I know her, oh, God, over 50 years, and I'm having difficulty. We're very different in many ways, but I'm kind of, like, drifting away from the what originally, you know, brought us together. I've been having reversals of love. And this call reminded me of, brought me into the awareness that that's going on. And my conversation with her most recently was to point that out. I said, we're more different than alike in so many ways. I mean, so as I'm listening to this, and I'm saying, you need to look at this, Susan. You need to see what's going on here, what's happening with a lot of negative emotion and reversals of your love with her. I went, oh, okay. I said, so you need to, of all the times when I've been listening, it's been so great, I haven't had the need to call in. And I said, but this time I said, you need to call it in and share that that's what's going on. And what you were, you know, talking about brought to my awareness that this is happening here with somebody. It's not just a casual person. It's somebody I know a very long time. And
So
I thought I'd share that, you know. I needed to share and thank you all and for a really, you know, something that brought to my awareness this is going on and I need to look at it and figure out what I need about it.
That's great that you have the awareness, Susan. Whenever a person can get back to the primal awareness, you can solve just about anything. But you can already see that changing your thoughts are not going to handle anything. You just stay in the swamp, so to speak. The thoughts just go back to, well, the original way you were and then how it developed and how it's not working right now and what have you accomplished. You go back to the awareness of what it felt like being with her in the early stages of your relationship. And then you gain the consciousness necessary to either present it to her or just resolve it within yourself. Not everything has to be talked out. It really doesn't, especially when we get to the level of primal awareness. There's less need to talk about anything.
Yeah, that's so. And it makes me feel sad to go through this, you know?
Of course.
And like you said, far better to move into the beginnings when, you know, these negative feelings and thoughts weren't with me.
Yeah. But people change, and we change, and I remember Love Without End, Yeshua said, you know, sometimes our time to work together is at hand and sometimes it's past. And
that's right.
I don't know.
It does happen. You know, life brings us to those we're going to work with. And then it takes us adrift on the ocean so that we can connect with others. And all you need to do is recognize with honor and respect the fact that this relationship was valuable to you. And at some point in time, it was valuable to her, too, or it wouldn't have lasted so long. But it's okay if it changes. Things do change over time, sometimes between ourselves and our closest friends. And sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
But the original love is always there, so that's good.
Yeah, and it is.
It is, and I think I like the idea that I But I was honest, and I said, look, I mean, we're very, you know, but I pointed something out. I was good. It was good to communicate that. I felt I needed to say what I did say. And because I'm working, honestly, with Archangel Gabriel, which is communication and using my voice and, you know, learning how to use it, when to use it, and when not to, when, you know, and I'm not sorry what I said. I just, because I think it's true that what I said was so. I just want to feel more compassionate. I want to feel less, I don't know, judgmental, and I feel, you know, less of that negativity, you know, that I feel.
Right.
That, you know, that's what I like. I would like that to be lifted. And I can't make it happen, and no amount of thought is going to make it happen either. But,
no.
You know.
Right.
Susan? Do that. Yeah?
Susan, may I say something?
Sure.
I'm assuming she's up in years a little bit. Is that correct?
She's my age. We're 75.
Okay. Well, you may be doing better than she is in your mind, your awareness, your heart, your engagement with life. But a lot of people over the age of 70 begin to lose their connection with life, and they become negative. It may have nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate that.
You know, when a person loses their foothold and their grip on the mountainside they've been climbing for so long, they become frightened. They're afraid they're going to lose their next grip. And everything upsets them. This is, you can read about this in any articles made for the public about geriatric psychology. It's not classical, full-blown paranoia, but it's a mild kind of fear about life that causes some people, as they age, to be more cautious, to be more judgmental, to be more cryptic. And you may just need to be more compassionate, but also keep your boundaries up, because you don't have to put up with it. But in your heart, you could have a little more compassion. I strongly believe that's what she's going through.
Right.
And you've never seen her that way before, because she
right.
wasn't at that age before.
Yeah, it's easy to focus on our differences instead of focusing on what, you know, what connects us, and that original love is there. And so that's
exactly.
That's, thank you, Glenda.
Right.
I'm glad you
thank
called.
You.
The same thing happened with my mother. One of the most creative, loving people that ever walked on the earth. But she would reject the most logical suggestions, things she would have loved before. And finally, you know, I had enough talks with her doctor to really understand what was going on. And she could not live alone, because she would keep making wrong decisions and then feel negative about them. And, of course, it was all my fault or anybody else that tried to help her, because, you know, she couldn't own up to the fact that she was not making perfect decisions like she had done all of her life. So especially people who have been in a high degree of control in their life don't like being thrown into that condition. We have to love him anyway. We have to love him anyway. And I hope I'm not going to become one of them. so far, I it's good. But, it really comes down to compassion, but also self-respect. So you take care of yourself.
Don't allow yourself to be abused in any way, but just remember the good times, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Susan. Thank you so much. We love you. You're so glad you're here today. And, Glenda, we have our last caller. I believe we have Stormy. Stormy, we're glad you're here today.
Yes. My mother's maiden name is Bridges. And I have met many people that I've traveled who perceive me as one, as the same between heaven and earth. And that they have asked me several times not to just take them over the bridge when they die into heaven, but to take them completely through the light into heaven, because they perceive that I can come and go at will. That's a very nice compliment, that anyone who would ask me to take them to heaven when they die, I simply say yes.
Good. That's great. That is a nice compliment. But it's more than that. It's confidence in you.
Yes, and it's another way of God showing me who I am, that I can show you who you are.
Yes, that's right. And there's so much more in all of us, Stormy, that we have not yet discovered.
Yeah.
You're just a little ahead of most people in discovering all the possibilities of who you are. And, but it's, there's these extra special places that we all can travel to or perform from. And I look forward to the day when we have so many people on this earth who are loving and caring for each other, and lifting up our humanity to more than it has ever been before.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, I've done my fair share of traveling, that's for sure. Whether
yes,
on Earth,
you have, Stormy.
Or,
and thank you so much
Earth
for all
out in the universe.
Yes, right. You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, on that discourse of you becoming like your mother, that is not going to happen, because I saw this within you many years ago. And Tony and I took you to the center of the galaxy to see that that would never happen.
Wow. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Wow.
I saw this and asked Tony. I said, we don't need to tell Glenda about it now, but today is a good time to say that. I says, we don't need to tell Glenda at the time, many years ago. And I says, I see the beginnings of this, where we're going to take her, you and I, to the center of the galaxy and make sure that this never happens in our life.
That's great.
We can do that
for
each other.
Yes, we do. Bye-bye. See you next week. Or in the meantime, in space is unknown. All right?
Yes. Thank you, Stormy. Okay, Glenda, our
bye
board
bye,
is
Stormy.
Clear.
Yeah, I think we're going to close it now because we need to get ready for our blessing.
Okay.
Okay.
We're right at 4:15 as intended.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, I just want to say that I have received, pardon me, I received your email. Those who wrote asking for an email blessing, I've got your emails, okay? I've got them. I've got all the requests put on one page and printed out so that I can keep it with me during the week. So you're covered. And I like the fact that we're doing that because I can hear from so many more people. And I just want to remind those who have may not have heard already, just askablessing@christblessing.org. That's it. And I will get it. And we will pass it on to the one who blesses you. But for now, let's just get ourselves ready. And I know after focusing on thoughts in your mind, feelings in your heart, maybe just listening and studying and tightening your focus, well, we get a little stiff. I want you to loosen up. And we're not going to do a full calisthenic because we just don't want to take the time for it. But I wish those who can stand would stand up and move your body. Turn your torso at your waist to the right or to the left and back and forth. And then a little bend forward, not enough to lose your balance or even challenge your equilibrium. But a little bit, just enough to stretch your back, okay? And then swing your back, not a lot more, but just kind of get the idea that you're dancing. And you just lean back into whatever step you're taking with the music. You're going to reach your arms out to your side and then move them up above your head like you're reaching for the stars. You're going to, or whatever you would reach for with all your strength, that blessing you want, or just cheesecake, whatever motivates you to reach. I want you to stretch your elbow, your rotator cuff in your shoulder, the palm of your hand, and your fingers. Okay, and do the same thing with your other hand, whatever hand you started. Now do the same thing with the other hand because you're going to be reaching for a blessing. And that reach kind of expresses the fact that you want to reach for what's needed but also channel it through your body. Let your body grab it and bring it to you. Now we're going to turn our head to the right and to the left. Slow enough that you don't get dizzy or disoriented, but, you know, and really move your head into it as far as you can go, to the right, to the left. Tilt your head back just a little bit, and then you drop your chin forward so that you press your chin into your clavicle area, and that's going to stretch the back of your neck. Now, that stretch in the back of your neck is very, very important because it connects with the hypothalamus, which is really pretty much where the brain envisions creativity, creative action, intuition, spiritual response, other emotional responses. So it's going to connect with the hypothalamus. It's going to connect down with the stress point that's between your shoulders. That's where we build up so much stress. And then we're going to tilt our head a little bit to the right, and then we're going to tilt it to the left because that's going to stretch the side, the tendons in your neck that hold your head in a state of equilibrium so that you can, it can be mobile and yet not moving in a disoriented way. It holds your head in place, correctly in place, whether you're driving or talking to someone or making breakfast. Your head's going to move exactly where it needs to go, where you want it to go. And so these tendons do a lot of work for you. They help you have that stability that you want and need. Okay. Now that we've done that, the last thing we're going to do, and I took it in this order today for a reason, we're going to stretch our legs out and point your toes. If you're standing, you can sit down for this one if you want to, because we're going to get ready to sit down anyway. So that way you won't run the risk of any kind of imbalance. Just sit down, and then one at a time, lift your right or your left leg and point your toes like a ballerina so that you're going to stretch the front side of your leg. Now you pull your toes up to where they're, your toes and your foot are running vertically, and you're going to stretch. That stretches the back of your leg. Okay. Now, why are we going to stretch our leg with this degree of importance when we're sitting down? Because you're going to put your feet flat on the ground without, if you got athletic shoes on, take them off. We don't want any man-made material becoming between you and the earth. It's okay to have socks on, especially if they're a natural fiber. It's okay for leather. We just don't want, we don't want petroleum products coming between our other man-made synthetic products coming between us and the earth, because your blessing has to be anchored into the physical. It has to be in order to take its place in your life, in your body. And the power that is coming in from the Holy Spirit and from Christ is so powerful. Now, you're not going to feel it as a bolt of lightning or some kind of energy that's going to rock you. Well, some of you might. It all depends on your sensitivity to the power. But it is a great power. And it's got, it takes the whole earth to anchor it. So the whole earth will actually anchor this blessing coming in for you. Because the earth wants you blessed too. And if you remember the book of Genesis, which you probably do because I love quoting it, you were not created in heaven. Your soul, yes, but not your physical presence. You're created from the earth, literally from the earth. So you're a child both of the earth and of God. Mother loves her children. Father empowers his children. These two energies come together and mingle to deliver your blessing. So have your feet in the right place, okay? And then I would suggest that when you're in that position, you lean forward just a little bit to stretch your low back and then straighten up. If you want to lean back during the blessing, that's okay. You know, you don't have to be in an upright, uncomfortable position. Get comfortable, but keep your feet on the ground. Okay? Now, I'm going to offer my invocation to Yeshua. And you might say, well, why does she do that if he's already here? Because he waits for us to ask. We were given our sovereignty to make decisions about our own life. And God will not interfere unless it's absolutely critical. If we don't ask. Because the asking is part of the blessing. So I'm going to start by asking for you, for the power, the love, the grace of Christ to be applied to this time together. And then after that is finished, while we are, the blessing givers and I are conducting that energy, you will continue with your prayer for those you love, for yourself, for issues you have, needs you have, goals you have, anything you want help with. You make it your personal blessing
with your prayer. Now let's all take a very deep breath and blow it out. And another, and blow it out. Dear Yeshua, O Lord, Lord of creation, Son of God, our brother, we thank you for being here with us, and we ask for one step more. Please hear our request for blessings. These blessings that we request come deep from in our hearts, applied to our life, because of ones we love, because of needs we feel are essential and important, that we need your help with, for we cannot do it alone. We ask that your love be poured upon all of humanity, that we may find better solutions for how to live in peace with one another, that we may discover love within that peace, and we may be brought to a higher state of being within ourselves. We ask for health. We ask for wisdom. And we ask for creative tolerance among us all, that we may be encouraged to believe or know with certainty that love is the propelling force in all of life and creation. Be with the children, for they would all come to you. We ask that you be with the elderly, for they know soon they will be coming with you. Greet them with open arms, that the last years of their life may be filled with blessings and love. We thank you for everything that you've given us. We thank our Father for his graciousness in providing a way for us through all circumstances, for building bridges for us that we may cross dangerous rivers and arrive safely on the other side. We thank the Holy Spirit for guiding us in the ways of wisdom. And we thank our angels for protecting us and helping us to find joy when otherwise there might not be any. Now we surrender at this moment to receive your almighty blessing. We receive in love, with faith and hope, that the will of God may be done. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, let's get into receiving even more of it by stretching out on your bed or a sofa or any other comfortable flat surface where your head and your feet can be basically at the same level and just relaxing. And be careful not to think. Don't even continue your prayer at this point. You can always pray later, but right now, don't even continue your prayer because we want you to be thought neutral. And it's very hard to pray without thought. So just don't continue. Like I said, you can still do your bedtime prayer, but at that point, it will be prayer, not the continuation of the blessing. So just zero out. Go to zero space and receive. Allow God to write on the whiteboard of your life. So, for me, bye-bye for now. Many blessings during the coming week. And I hope to see you back again next week. I wish you all the best.